Welcome to the Sailor and a Sex Worker podcast
with your hosts, Jack Dean and Whitney Blues.
There's plenty of drinks here.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take a sip of something.
You want a sip of something?
Would you like,
a sip of Jack?
Oh, I don't. Well, yeah.
Was that, oh, okay. Were you hitting on Jack just
yeah,
now?
I think he was.
Pun intended.
What? Hey. Fucking gay.
You already told me your first gay experience would not be Jack.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm glad. It's not you. I don't want that either.
Yeah. Kevin is back.
I am back. Kevin is back.
Welcome back.
How you been, man?
I've been pretty good.
Yeah.
I had a small human child.
Yeah.
So that's been exciting.
Oh, how's that been going for you?
It's been pretty good. You know, I just make my partner do all the work. So I'm kidding. But obviously the woman does the majority of the work, so.
I was handing. Tell me, I want to drink.
Well, there's no more.
Really?
Yeah, just the last one.
Oh,
fuck off!
I thought there was a bag of them on the floor.
Nope. I think we drank these all last.
The black
night.
Bag.
Oh, the black bag.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, sorry, Kevin. Tell. Go ahead.
Yeah. So yeah, we had a son. He's awesome. He sleeps well. He feeds well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Have you tried the breast milk yet?
I have. It's amazing.
What do you think about it?
One, it tastes really fucking good. Like there's like a. Almost a hint of vanilla in it. Did you try it?
No, I haven't tried it yet.
You need to. It's
can
so
you bring
good.
Some over next time? I want to try it.
I'm going yeah. to, for yeah. sure. I just
do you like put in your protein shakes after you're done working out? Like, hey, wife, come here.
No, I don't get that much. Like if he doesn't finish.
I just want like a little taste.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to know what it is.
I get like an ounce here and there. And it's really, really good. Legitimately. We have like a freezer full of it. She's what they call an overproducer.
Yeah.
Or I call a milkmaid.
Or like Mother Teresa kind of thing.
Yeah, so we have a ton, and you know, if at some point he doesn't need to feed anymore, we don't need all the extra, then I'm definitely going to use it to fuel my gains.
Okay.
Or sell it. Like
breast milk gains instead of sticky rice gains.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like bodybuilders pay like a shit ton of money for breast milk because it's filled with proteins and growth hormone and all that stuff.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we're sitting on a gold mine.
Yeah, you guys are.
Honestly, if she wasn't in the military and she could openly do kind of stuff that I do, she would probably make a ton of money.
I mean, we could make we could crop video. Her face out of it. Just
you could, but it would be more fun if her face was in it.
Believe me, I keep bringing that up. I was like, let's do this.
The whole point is that she's gorgeous. Like you can see any tits spewing milk, but
yeah,
if and they were hers,
super fun, dude.
Yeah,
and the best part of all this is her tits, which were already great, got even better.
Yeah,
like, she looks like Jessica Rabbit now. It's insane. Retarded.
No way.
Yeah,
you're just like, come here, babe.
Yeah, we fooled around last week or a week or so ago. Is like, and I was like sucking on her tits, and the milk started squirting out right as I was like fingering her, and she was
Jesus.
Like, and she so she started coming from that. She's like, that was so hot to see, and I was like, yes,
goddamn fucking Navy SEALs.
That has been a fantasy of mine for so long to have breast milk during sex.
I'm not gonna lie, I definitely went down a little breast milk porn rabbit hole recently. Just out of curiosity, because you wouldn't shut the fuck up about all the breast milk stuff. You're like, we're going to get on our knees in front of her and she's going to squirt our faces. I'm like, this is.
She is. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We'll see. Whenever this comes up, she's like,
I will be more than happy to film this.
She rolls her eyes and is like, uh-huh. Like, she doesn't seem as enthused, and I'm not trying to push this envelope. Like, I'm going to give it happen.
I think
happens.
We should.
Yeah, but you know how she is. She goes with the flow. Like, if she's in the mood,
right.
Like, it's got
the timing is right. But right, so far, every time I've seen her, I was like, this is not the time.
Yeah, we're usually meeting on a weeknight dinner and stuff. You know, it's not the time or place.
Yeah, but it's not like at the dinner table conversations, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
fancy restaurant.
Our dinner tables? Yeah. No, this is my dinner table.
My birthday party could be the place. That could be one of my birthday presents I make her give me.
Well, when's your birthday?
Well, it's officially May 25th.
Oh shit, dude, I'm April 25th.
Nice.
Yeah, dude, we're like a month apart basically.
Yeah,
with some years.
You're invited to my birthday. I don't know if Whitney
really
told you.
I haven't talked to you about it yet.
What
was I not supposed to tell him?
No, that's fine.
Okay,
I'm invited.
When is it?
I rented this ridiculous house out in like Palm Desert area, June 6 to 9. Fitting.
Perfect.
Okay.
And we should do a live episode of the podcast from there.
From June 6 to 9.
Yeah,
it's in Palm Springs, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's
like 20 minutes from.
That's perfect. My last day is May 31st.
I'm probably not going to spend both nights.
Well, it's 3 nights, so you should do 2.
Well, that's okay. I'll do 2.
Yeah, you're going to want to do 2.
What's going to happen? We like Winnie Pooh and shirt cocking all day.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Clothing. I am
is
the last one was a lot, and I was like, this is a lot. There was a moment in time where Mr. Silver Fox and I were upstairs. We were both tripping pretty hard on mushrooms too. It was like, and everyone was all fucked up. And I was like upstairs on this rooftop thing we found. And yeah. I was like, I'm very overwhelmed. He's like, so am I. I was like, this is a lot.
I'm cool. Fucking in, dude.
Yeah. I just have to like really strap on my party pants for these parties. Cause yeah. it's not just like a party. It's 25 crazy lunatics fucked up in a mansion.
Are there going to be waiting?
No, everyone's naked.
Really? It's going to be a bunch of your SEAL friends there too?
No, maybe like one or two.
You don't really hang out with Navy SEALs.
Yeah, I mean, I have a bunch of friends, obviously, from the teams, but even when I was in, I hung out with my non-military friends more. So that's
why I have been doing that, too, and I kind of enjoy it a little bit more.
Yeah, I feel like you don't hang out with anyone from work, really, either.
No, not anymore.
Yeah.
They're all gone or fucking went away or just don't talk to me or they got families and stuff, you know?
Right.
Shit happens.
It's like impossible. If all your friends are work, like,
yeah.
You never stop thinking or talking about work. It's awful.
Yeah, it is really horrible sometimes. Yeah.
So yeah, you're definitely invited.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Mark it on your calendar. It can be part of like your
booked.
Getting out party too.
Yeah.
Woo! It's going to be a shit show.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Cocking, Winnie pooing.
Winnie the pooing.
Kevin's fucking birthday party.
And probably a bunch of topless women.
Yeah.
I am totally in at that point right now. Okay, I'm in. I'm fucking in. Yep.
Okay.
Oh, God. I love my life.
I love my life.
This is going to be great.
I also love my life.
Oh. Whitney will be topless, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure. 100%. If I'm allowed to be, I am. I mean, it's a disappointment to me that I can't take my tits out more. And where I stay in Mexico, it's not allowed on those beaches.
Well, can I Winnie the Pooh then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
You can
I've
go full naked.
Dick,
like this.
Yeah. Winnie had the unfortunate.
I think at the last one, I had a rule that you could, the max amount of clothing you could have on at the pool was one article.
Yeah.
Okay. So I can just like wear a Speedo with like an American flag on it and like my face.
Or you could just wear a hat. And nothing else.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm fucking in, dude. This is going to be the greatest birthday party getting out / awesome day ever. I cannot fucking wait, dude. Mark your calendars and then we'll shoot a podcast.
So there's a beach inside the compound.
Where the fuck are we going
it has
again?
It's like a man-made pond, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The beach.
And then in the middle of that, there's like a little grass grotto in the middle of like that pond beach.
It's
we should
cool.
film a podcast episode right there, naked.
If there's a boat to get the equipment out there.
Well, it's not that deep. We can walk.
Okay.
It's not an actual.
You know this for sure?
Yeah.
This sounds like the greatest
adventure.
You know
that you can walk from the shore to the.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm fucking in, dude.
That's information I wouldn't have thought to ask. Did you ask this or was it in the.
No, I just looked at the pictures closely. It's.
Okay.
Yeah, we can figure it out.
Is this something from your SEAL training that you can tell how deep water is by looking at it from a photograph?
I mean, when the water is pretty clear, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that hard. That's not for my SEAL training. That's just
it's just common sense.
It's just life.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't feel like I would be like, you can walk across that.
That's from my sniper training.
Yeah. Oh, man, this sounds like a great birthday party. I can't wait.
I mean, if we can't walk, we'll put the equipment in a Tupperware with a floaty around it.
No, I got a bug out bag that's like waterproof. So I got you on that.
Dry bag. Yeah. There we go.
A dry bag. But yeah, call them what you want. Bug out bag, dry bag.
Bug out bag?
Bug out bag. You don't got a bug out bag?
No.
What?
I don't. Do you, Kevin, have a bug out bag?
No, I don't.
No. Well, I do.
Where do you keep it?
Huh?
Where do you keep it?
I'm not telling you that.
Oh, do you think I'm going to steal it or something?
No, I don't know. I'm just not telling you.
So what do you keep in it?
Water, food.
And like MREs?
Yeah. And then I got like my bow right next to it.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you have a
knife
gun or something? Yeah, some weapons.
I got like a knife. I got my knife.
A way to make fire would be
important. Yep, I got my fucking fire starters. I got a waterproof matches, first aid kit.
Okay.
I don't have one right now.
And
I have talked with my partner about like making something like that, having some plan for when the world inevitably goes to complete shit.
You always need to have a plan.
Yeah.
You know? Like, and I was like, I'm getting into this shit.
This is my bug out bag. We're sitting in it.
Yeah. What the fuck are you going to do here?
I don't know. Hide.
With what? You have no resources.
I'll come get you, Whitney.
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah. I mean,
you're included in my escape plan.
Yeah. Well, she's already included in my escape plan if I had to go get her, you know?
The first night that I lived here alone, because I had a roommate here for a while before now I have one again, but I lived here alone for years. And the first night that there were the riots and you were like, do you want me to come over with my gun? And I was like, I think I can do this. It was fine. No one came in my yard.
That's right. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not really scared of a gun, but if someone comes at me with a fucking bow, like a compound
bow.
You're
not afraid of guns?
A compound bow, dude? Being shot by an arrow? Can you imagine the pain of that shit?
I'm pretty afraid of guns.
Sure, but I mean, It's much harder to hit somebody with an arrow.
Well, yeah. Fucking, you just call me John Rambo right now, all right?
How good are you with that bow?
I'm pretty good. I've been practicing a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They're fun to shoot.
They are so much fun to shoot.
Where do you practice?
There's a park in SD that I go to, which is like a free archery range. So I do compound, and then I do recurve that I bought off Amazon. That bow sucks, but my compound, I fucking love it. I sucked at it at first, but then I got really good at it.
I went to an archery and crossbow museum in Belgium.
Really?
Yeah, I got really drunk there too. It was like a weird, it was like a museum night. That's what it was called, museum night. And it was, you had access to like 25 museums with the ticket and an after party, and all the places had drinks. And so you could go museum hopping. It was like pouring rain and cold in October. And all the places we wanted to go, the lines were really long. So we ended up in this crossbow museum, and I was like, teach me everything you know about crossbows. And we stayed there for like an hour and a half, and I asked 1600 questions.
Did you get crossbowed afterwards?
We actually couldn't even hold the gun. We couldn't do, they're not guns. We couldn't even hold the bows.
They were all like ancient, right?
Really just wanted us to look and listen. And I was like, okay, this is a struggle, but I got it.
Magic and shot.
It'd be really cool if there was a museum where you could actually use all that shit.
Yeah.
You know?
It'd be super fun. Target practice or something.
No.
But I want to shoot like the old weapons.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like an old cannon.
Oh.
Why is the light doing that? Do you see that?
What?
Watch the screen. But anyway, so yeah, that.
Like, imagine an old cannon. If you went on the USS Constitution in Boston, we could actually fire the cannons.
Oh, fuck.
I've been on that ship.
That'd be awesome.
The Constitution's a museum, right?
It's in Maya. It's the oldest.
Old Ironsides.
Old Ironsides.
Yes. It's at the wharf, I think, in Boston. And there's an aquarium there. But I definitely toured it. And it was pretty cool. I actually really like touring ships.
They're very, very cool.
Yeah.
Any like old wooden ship is just interesting to be on.
Really?
I don't know. Just the thought that people like lived on this. I don't know. It's interesting.
Fought for our freedom on that ship.
Fought for our freedom.
Yeah, dude. Old Ironside,
dude. The tyranny of the British.
Fucking British. No, we can't say that. We got a lot of British fans.
Right.
We're
going in August.
Oh, are we still going?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Oh, yeah. We are.
It's my 40th birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Unlike Kevin, I don't want to have a room full of people or a house full of people. I'm like, I want to just disappear out of the country with one person or alone and just meet new people.
I mean, the house is huge, and 15 to 20 people like is not super crowded in a mansion.
Right.
Should I bring like a cot, or like should I just sleep on the couch?
There's
whatever.
I think there's lots of places.
There are 9 king size beds and then like probably 20 couches. I don't know.
What the fuck are we getting into?
There's a couple tennis courts. I mean, it's massive.
What the fuck
we'll
did you get, dude?
We'll look at the listing after.
Holy shit.
It's a mansion.
Yeah. Okay, I'm fucking in, dude.
Mansions are fun.
Goddamn, right. Cocksucking Navy SEALs, so, dude. Yeah. Fucking A, dude. Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Jack is excited.
I'm super pumped. Are you kidding me?
I'm glad I got to invite you personally.
Dude,
I'm glad too. That you actually hadn't told him yet.
Yeah, I am like literally smiling ear to ear right now. Like, I cannot fucking wait.
It's going to be a good one.
Your childlike wonder.
I am. It's going to be so much fun.
It will be fun.
Yo, so I wanted to ask you too. Did you guys started writing your novels, right?
Yeah.
We started.
And?
I've been terrible about it.
How's it going though?
I think we have a really solid outline.
We have a very solid outline. We've been messing with the idea of the whole book and kind of adding to the outline, but I haven't really written anything.
Yeah, we haven't written like the meat of any chapters.
Okay. Yeah.
But
we know the arc.
We have the arc of the first book and really the second and the third book.
Yeah, it's a 3-part series.
That's gonna be a 3-part series.
This is gonna be the next like space opera, like Star Wars with sex.
Oh. Is that what we're going for? I don't know about Star Wars. It's not going to be so fantastical as that. Like, there won't be drone. Wars.
Maybe like,
you can have like a robot fucker.
Maybe
there's
like,
going to be a lot of AI involved.
Maybe like Blade Runner with a lot of gratuitous sex.
I haven't seen Blade Runner.
It's like dystopian and kind of like dark. What? Yeah.
You never seen Blade Runner?
No.
Never mind. We're not getting into that right now.
So yeah, we're working on it. We have like our character names. We have our planets and, you know, the basic idea of what the solar system, not solar system, but like how galaxy. The people live there and the galaxy, like what it's, how it's set up and the way that like the hierarchy of the.
Okay. Can I ask one thing?
Yeah.
Can I just like put, can you put my name in the book as like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, let's name the main character Jack.
No.
Oh, no, it's already named.
Didn't you say you wanted the main female to have a pet?
Her name is Georgia.
Right, but you wanted her to have a pet, like an alien version of a dog?
Yes.
Should name it Jack.
Jack.
You want to be my dog in this book?
Yeah, dude.
I mean, it's not me. I'm not the main character. In fact, there's two women main characters, and I feel like they're both from my imagination, but they're not me.
Yes, well, put me as the pet name Jack.
Okay.
Done.
Jack the alien.
You are the dog.
Fuck.
You're actually a really smart dog, and you're going to do good things.
Oh, good.
And you're going to get stolen.
And you'll get laid, too.
Yeah,
dog
dude.
Sex. Got to put some
fucking
sex in
dog
there.
Sex in there, dude.
Yeah. Definitely going to be some dog sex.
No, Jack don't, as Jack humps the dog fiercely. Squirts his dog alien cum on him.
Oh, God. Now I have
Space
seven
Princess
more dogs.
Says, stop. Space Jack princess. Continues. I don't know. Sounds pretty cool to me.
I mean,
dude.
Are we space people to other,
to other civilizations? Yeah. I mean, we exist in space, so we're space people.
I cannot wait to read this book. I'm more excited about the Jack the dog part.
I feel bad. I really need to like sit down and write. I keep reading, thinking that I'm doing research. Like I'm like, okay, I'm gonna read another book that's written from a different either first or third person or whatever, just to get an idea of writing styles. And then I keep reading books that are with whole new worlds made up, or I'll read something super erotic to try to get better ways to write erotica. And I'm like trying to cover all these bases, but I feel like I'm just getting sucked into the research and not actually writing.
That's okay. There's no time clock on this, there's no rush.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm just had a kid, so it's not like I have the most free time on the planet.
Yeah, I know. I don't feel that guilty because I'm like, I'm running 600 things and this is like a pet project.
Too busy just taking breast milk from your wife, dude.
Yeah.
Fighting the baby for milk.
Yeah.
That little bastard always wins.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. You're like the second man in the house now, basically, right?
It's true. I mean, a male baby has the dream life of any male adult, right? He just cries and a breast gets put in his mouth. He cries another time and someone changes his pants. Cries again, puts you to sleep.
I mean,
we just take it for granted sometimes,
Yeah. We evolved too much.
I know.
I need to go back to the cradle.
Yeah.
I'm good on that. No, thank you. Sounds terrible.
What? Sip it in a cradle all day, getting breast milk? And
yeah, I'd be bored.
Shitting yourself and having someone clean it for you?
I'm good.
Fuck, dude.
No, thank you.
Can't wait till I'm 80.
You're not even gonna know.
What do you mean?
Dementia or something.
Yeah, you're not gonna make it that far anyway.
Like, we're not gonna know. I feel like our generation is fucked when we're old.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
I don't think we are.
Because I don't know. They've been pumping us full of weird food for our whole lives, and
I think that's true. Yeah.
I just think like that when we are older, we might live longer, but I don't know how cognitive we're gonna be.
Yeah, I agree. There's an obsession to like live longer, but that doesn't mean you're living any better.
Right. I just feel like, I mean, I don't know. I don't keep up with trends and like how people are, if they have dementia more or less or what.
And I just live my life anywhere I want.
Well, yeah, I don't give a fuck about any of it. I just eat, do, drink, smoke, whatever.
Yeah.
So fuck I know it's all going to eventually
catch up.
Hit me. Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. I could see you living to like 105 and like still being pretty like vibrant and tenacious at that
my
age.
My mom's mom is 95 and she lives alone. She cooks for herself. She's fine. She's like, doesn't drive, but
that's crazy.
We can FaceTime and stuff. And then her mom lived to be, I want to say 103, but like, I could be wrong on that.
My grandma's 95 right now.
But Jean is, I mean, my mom's like 72. She'll be 73.
Looking good, dude.
She looks great. She's super energetic. I mean,
she can dance.
Forgetful, but yeah, she can dance. I don't know. It's just we'll see. I definitely think I'm gonna live a very long time.
You will.
Have a feeling I'm gonna be like a
you're like a cockroach, just can't kill you.
I got my fortune told when I was a kid, and I was told I was live till I was 89, so I've just been going off
that's old.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
89
for me, I'm like, as long as I'm coherent and can still like eat food and I'm not shitting my pants, I'm cool.
Yeah,
me too. I mean, I don't know, I don't think about that type of the future that much.
Once I can't do the things that I really enjoy doing, I'm like, just shoot me, just get it at that point.
Harry has this, oh my gosh, we should get him on and talk about it. Harry's plan is, I don't know if it's changed now that my mom's back in his life, but he was telling me kind of like around COVID, he's like, if the shit starts getting real weird or I'm doing this, he's like, I'm just gonna buy a huge bag of heroin and OD and just go out like that.
Go out with your boots on?
Okay, Dad.
Okay.
All right, yeah.
That's really what you want. I was like, I'll shoot you up. Whatever.
I mean, I don't fucking blame him. Shit, I'll give me a bag of cocaine and some big booty whores
from Necco.
I mean, enough.
An 89-year-old Jack fucking sitting in a bar in Mexico doing blow with a bunch of fucking hookers. That's not going to kill me.
I want to go out like in a sleepy way.
Yeah, me too. I don't want to like have like massive cocaine anxiety and then my heart pops.
No, I want to like.
While I'm railing some big booty whores at 89.
Well, that's, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just doped up on Viagra. Like fucking A.
I knew that was coming.
Sorry, mother, if you're listening to this.
Does your mom listen to this podcast?
I don't know. She hasn't. I think she does, but she hasn't really said anything about it.
My sister is listening. Hi, Jess. But I wonder how much of it she listens to, because some of it just goes off the rails pretty heavily.
Yeah, I've been surprised by people who tell me they've like heard. I don't think they listen to the whole thing, but they've seen like the reels on Instagram or whatever. You know, like one of my good friend's moms like saw it and was like asking her like, "Is everything okay with Kevin?" Because I was like talking dirty or whatever.
Oh, oh my gosh! we were talking dirty.
It was probably the last novel one.
Randomly started talking dirty.
I don't remember anything. You know?
Oh yeah.
Well, okay. I do, and it was like you guys were doing the romantic novel thing, like Kevin was talking like, and then she comes in the room and sees two handsome guys.
It's hard to write that kind of stuff. It's even hard to read it sometimes. Like I've been doing a lot of research on reading erotica and reading a lot of different types of it. And I'm just like, no one really can write it that I'm like, oh, this is how I feel when this is happening.
Well, I think you're like the best person to.
You write pretty well.
Yeah, I think you're like the best
the one
author
to do it.
I mean, come on, all your experiences.
It's just whether I can put it into words.
Yeah, I think you could. I mean, you're a smart girl.
Thank you.
I think we're going to write the erotica masterpiece of a generation.
I hope so.
We will. I know.
I know
it.
I know. You have good confidence in this.
What are you going to call it? Sex in Space?
It doesn't have a name.
Oh.
Sex in Space.
Space.
No,
yep, that's it.
It's not like, it's a book. It kind of dives into people reigniting their ability to connect with one another.
Or mm-hmm. Mars.
Yeah. Yeah, the premise is basically like the civilization is oppressed through like artificial intelligence, and they're not allowed to like touch or feel.
Yeah,
like did you ever like remember the movie Demolition Man?
I'm about to say, dude,
or the movie Equilibrium. Similar kind of vibe, right? Like people aren't allowed to touch or feel because that's what leads to people going haywire, and so that's all suppressed. And then our hero and heroine meet, and they like discover sex and love and touching, and then
alien dog Jack.
And then alien dog Jack, and then they start a revolution based around like opening people's eyes and bodies.
It's
to
a
sex.
Sexual revolution.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Slash like actual uprising.
I'm basically Chewbacca right now, and I feel great about it.
You are. Yeah. You should definitely make him a very hairy pet.
Yeah. Okay. Super hairy.
With very pink skin underneath the hair.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
That's a dig.
Oh, I cannot wait for the sex novel, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. I need to get writing.
I'm pretty excited about it. It is. I truly believe we're going to make something incredible.
I don't doubt it. I know that a book is in my future. I know. I think there's multiple books in my future, but yes, this one is, I'd like to do it. It'd mm-hmm. be fun.
We're going to do it.
We are doing it. It's happening.
Yeah. We'll just promote
We've
it.
We've already begun.
Mm. So what else do you guys want to talk about today?
I wanted to actually talk to you a little bit because it came up recently, and I actually reached out to you because I was feeling really insecure about the whole thing when I was posting about my brother mm-hmm. and about how I was feeling about his exit from the military.
Oh, and yeah.
You successfully did it. So I was wondering if you have any advice for veterans out there who are exiting.
Yeah, I talked to the veteran community.
Yeah.
Jack's about to be out.
I mean, it can be very, very difficult. And I think it's important to talk about the reasons why it's difficult so people actually understand that.
Okay.
And I think largely a large number of people join the military and like haven't maybe done much else in life before that. Like maybe it was their first job straight out of high school they did, or maybe they went to college, but you know, that's just like 4 years partying. So I think then what happens is like in the military can become very all encompassing, right? Like there's a set of rules you live by on the ship or on the base and all your friends are in the military. And so you're just surrounded by that. And so like the job becomes your identity.
Yeah.
Right. Which is dangerous in any profession. Right. Because if you don't have something else outside of that, when it then ends, you feel kind of like empty.
Yeah.
And I think for some people, like for me, like being a SEAL was my dream job. I wanted to do it since I was 8 years old. And so then it suddenly
you knew what a Navy SEAL was when you were eight.
Yeah. My
I
oldest,
didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't. I don't know anything at eight, but okay.
It's definitely something 8-year-old boys know, you know,
Got
it's
it.
Like shooting guns and getting bad guys. Right. So, So I think when your dream job ends, you know, it's like pro athletes when they finish their careers, like, what do I do now? This is all I ever wanted to do. This is what I love.
Yeah.
How do I find some other purpose? So you got to spend like a lot of time, I think, looking inward and thinking about what in life like gets you excited.
Okay.
And that way you can like look for whether it's a job or just something you do every day that like gives you like excitement and energy and purpose.
Yeah. That you actually want to do.
Okay. That you truly want to do, that like energizes you to do. Right.
That you feel motivated to go do, and you don't give a fuck about the money.
Yeah. It's not like it's not a battery drainer.
Yeah.
So you gotta figure out what that is, or what like set of circumstances brings out the best in you, and then go look for those circumstances.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah. Mine so far has been podcasting. I fucking love this. I love doing podcasting.
That's exciting.
Yeah. And I've had a couple of people hit me up and, you know, ask if we can help them with their podcast. And then, of course, helping the veteran community.
Yeah.
Big time. Because the veterans have been so helpful for me. Everyone in doesn't know shit about getting out.
Right.
They have no idea.
Well, they don't really prep you for it, right?
Well, you do classes and stuff. And like, I only paid attention to the VA classes that I did. And like, okay, how can I use my VA funds, or how can I use my benefits to my advantage?
Right.
But the huge support I've gotten is through the veteran community. I met this guy in kickball. He's a swick dude. And he was like, if you don't get 100% disability, you call me right away.
Okay.
And I will get you 100%.
Oh, I need to call him.
Yeah.
I'll give you
the number and everything. Great dude, man. Great guy. But every veteran I've ever met has been just awesome. Awesome. And because they all hate the government as much as I do, you know, because I was like, fuck yeah, fuck
yeah. I think there's like two camps, right? There's the veterans who like just go right back into like contracting for the military or something like that. They don't grow at all. They don't change at all.
That's like the dudes
that
like do like 20 years and shit.
Yeah, they just stay the same boring human for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. And then the much bigger majority is people who like actually like grow. And I feel like they end up going the hippie route very often, right?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like seeing that a lot of what they thought they were fighting for is kind of
bullshit.
You heard it here, folks.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Oh, 100%, dude.
100% bullshit.
Oh yes.
Okay, so what are the other, you said there's a number of things that need to be taken into account, so finding who you are after that, because you come out empty.
Mm-hmm.
What's another one?
Yeah, finding your purpose is like number one.
Okay.
I think number two is making sure you have like support, right? So whether that's, you know, wife, husband, friends, family, etc. Making sure you have support and like really actually talk to people about it.
Yeah.
I think that's something that I think a lot of people in the military, men in particular, probably struggle with.
100%. Like, my brother did not speak about his time.
Yeah, they just need to head down to the VFW or your local American Legion, honestly, and talk to the veterans down there, because those guys are just fucking full of information and they're more than happy to help you.
I've had a bunch of guys like open up to me randomly, like random people I've met who were either getting out or like, I met a firefighter at a music concert once and like we ended up staying
in
touch.
A music concert?
Yeah, I don't know why I said it that way.
It sounded old.
It was a music concert.
It was
There was some
musical
fans.
Opera, SpaceX.
Anyway, we ended up chatting a little bit and he like opened up to me about stuff going on in his life, and I'm talking to him, and like he texted me a few weeks ago. He's like, hey man, like you kind of saved my life. Like I had thought about killing myself before that and all this stuff. And so
that's amazing.
You just got to find someone you feel comfortable talking to, because I think for a lot of guys it might be hard for them to talk to, say, their wife or something, because they feel like they're supposed to be the strong one and all that stereotypical stuff. And that's really hard to like undo in your brain. And so I think sometimes, at least what I've seen, is guys will open up to like other men, maybe because they're like, hey, I'm talking to another man and like he's telling me it's okay. And
other men who's been through the same situation.
Yes. Are there groups and stuff? Like, did you use online groups or anything like that? Or not really, because your partner is military, so you already have someone who's very understanding?
I didn't use any like online. Well, I did some like, it's kind of like executive coaching, which helps you like find your purpose.
Okay.
So they had me do a bunch of like kind of like silly homework, but in the end was like really
helpful,
fruitful,
like journaling type stuff.
Journaling and like writing about times in your career where you were really energized actually and felt like you were firing on all cylinders.
That's cool.
And then what we did is like analyze the situations, like what were the common themes. And for me, the common themes are like, I feel like I'm at my best in like very high risk, high reward situations.
Okay.
Right. That's when I like the best of me comes out. If there's not a lot of risk or pressure, I kind of can get like lazy.
I get fucking lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when there's high stakes, I'm like 110%. And so that helped me like
focus
on the fact that like I work at a startup now. I want to work at a startup where it's
right where you like this could fall to pieces.
Yeah, could fall
but
to pieces.
But your startup you're working at is a veteran based company, right?
Yeah, yeah. The co-founders are both also in the military.
That's cool.
That's how I said the veteran community is fucking huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell people this all the time now because a lot of people are reaching out.
I just think it's really important that people know that they should get into the community if they're getting it.
If you are getting out of the military, you need to reach out to veterans right. or someone who else is getting out. I've already had two guys reach out to me from my old command. They're like, hey, Dean, how you doing? I'm like, good. They're like, we need help.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, this is what you do. This is where you go to. Text me. I'll text you back, dude. Let me know what you claimed. I'll claim the same thing, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, if you need help finding a job, go to this class, do a resume class, go to this therapist, go to these doctors, blah, blah, blah.
I just think it's important. I know my brother got out a very long time ago. So probably
I know. I'm still trying to get his records. Still,
I mean, it's the stats around vets are like depressing.
Yeah. For sure.
But like the number of suicides.
He got out post he got out pre-internet being like, we obviously existed, but like he didn't have Instagram. He didn't have an iPhone. He never had a smartphone in his life. Mm-hmm. Like he killed himself before that. But I know that he didn't acclimate well and he had a hard time. I think, I mean, this is my assumption.
No, it is hard
but
to acclimate.
He wasn't part of any kind of like active veteran network or anything like that. Like he just dumped himself back into civilian life and his phone wasn't, you know, prompting him to do anything about it like that. You just had a flip phone.
Yeah, we all need a tribe, right? There's actually a really great book called Tribe by Sebastian Younger about this kind of phenomenon, and like you need a tribe to like share the burden with you, right? Like no one should ever truly go through something alone.
That
like
is
they
true.
Should have people they can talk to about it, and in doing so they kind of like spread that burden and
help
hold themselves up.
I think that's why my parents are doing so well now that they're here.
Yeah,
because it's like they have me, they have my friends, like their social network grew so much.
Yeah, I think that's been great for all of you.
Well, and plus they're just lovely people.
Well, they are, but they just were not that happy when they were back east.
Yeah.
We're not like how they are now at all.
Well, there's no sunshine back there.
No sunshine.
Ain't no sunshine when it goes.
Yes, please sing, Jack.
Oh, no, I shouldn't.
Okay. There was another question I wanted to ask you. Oh, actually, this is the question. So when you had gotten out, and I hope you don't mind talking about this, you had like a procedure done.
Yes, I did.
What was that? And can you talk about it a little?
Yeah, I can talk about it. I did what's called a stella ganglion block.
Okay.
This procedure has actually been around for a really long time. It's essentially an injection into, there's two nerves that run out of your brain, one on each side of the neck. And they essentially control your parasympathetic nervous system, which is what turns on fight or flight or not. And they put an injection in that, which basically kind of like doesn't block it.
But
it just like shuts it way down.
Is that because you were constantly in fight mode after all your training and everything you had been through?
Yeah. So what, there's kind of like two main forms of PTSD. There's like acute, right? If you're in like something really, really awful, your base was blown to pieces and you saw your friend's leg blown off, like really acute one-time incident.
Right.
And then there's also what they're calling now operator syndrome, where you've been on, you know, I went on half a dozen deployments myself and dozens or hundreds of ops for some guys. And like maybe never anything super acute, like where everybody got blown up and people died. But each one of those times you were under high stress and you were feeling it. You probably were managing it really, really well. Right.
Meaning
you're like suppressing it and just holding it off.
It's there.
But it's like staying in your body somewhere, and then later it kind of all comes back out. Or
Jack
comes
is like,
out.
You're describing me.
Yeah, yeah. That's literally 100%.
It starts to come out like randomly.
Yes.
You
know, and like for me, after my very last deployment, which was probably one of my definitely the most stressful one. Like I came home to my apartment one night and there was a cockroach on my pillow.
Oof, gross.
And I don't really give a shit about bugs normally. And I just freaked out. I like couldn't be in that place. It was like, and I couldn't sleep. I was like wound up so tight. I had to like literally text my oldest brother who lives here and drive to his house. Cause like, I can't sleep there. Like I remember driving on the road and I was like part crying. So I was like, wow, this is so.
Yeah.
I couldn't go to grocery stores for like 3 weeks. And then.
Oh, it's the bright lights.
Yeah. I couldn't.
Too much stimulation.
I couldn't sleep without someone there. But then like during my sleep, I would just kick everything and just struggling But and then I would wake up at like 3 a.m. and just be wide awake.
Yeah.
Wide awake and be like, okay, how do I go back to sleep? Oh, there's a bottle of Jack.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's like the worst thing to do.
Yeah.
That just repeats the cycle.
It does. It really does.
So when you had this procedure done.
Yeah. Sorry. So.
I just want to circle back because I remember we talked about it. It was something that was offered to you through the Veteran Network or something. How did this work?
Yeah. This was through one of the foundations that supports guys in the SEAL teams after they get out with like specifically a lot of health stuff. But there's a clinic in San Diego. I always forget the rules here.
It's just don't say the town I live in.
Yeah. Yeah. And, so this is something you can get done as an outpatient if you want. I think it's like $2,000 if you're paying out of pocket, but,
not completely unaffordable.
Yeah. So you just go in, it takes like 10 minutes. They hit it. Now, some people have a different side they react to. Most people react to the right side, meaning the right side, like, is what turns their nervous system down.
Okay.
For me, the right side did nothing. So I did it the first time and I was like, I don't feel any different.
Okay.
So I went back like a month or so later. We did the left side and that one, like, I remember leaving and being like, ooh. And then like for months after, like just that, like the volume's kind of turned down, like your responses are turned down. And, you know, slowly over time, that block kind of wears off. But
would you recommend it?
Yeah. Did you just get like scared easily? Like, if someone like came out of a room,
look like he gets scared easily.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, you like kind of like jump, fight or flight right there.
It's not necessarily, but like there's certain occasions, like if I've been like pretty stressed at work, like then the response gets a lot like shorter, right? Yeah. And I just feel a lot like darker and like the thoughts like spiraling. You can't like get out of like the clouds or the darkness kind of, and you're just like, and then you're laying in bed, it's 2 a.m. and you've just been, your brain has been like sprinting non-stop, in circles for hours, and you're like, what the fuck is wrong with me? And it sucks. I still have stuff like that
happening. Honestly, I think about getting that shot sometime.
I'm only laughing like, because that's like point on, dude.
Yeah.
It's point on.
I mean, one of the girls at the clinic was like, oh yeah, I do it every 6 months just as something I do for general anxiety. Yeah. Like it's a good option because it's not like super over the top, right? And like it's just a nice little tool.
I've been taking mushrooms.
Yeah.
Because I suffer from like pretty severe anxiety. I don't know if I always had it, but I definitely got it way worse in the last like 5 years. COVID was pretty anxious for me, and then my brother died mid COVID, and it was like, oh my gosh, this is happening again, because my other brother had died years prior. And I was just like, ever since then, I feel like I've had this level of anxiety that just like doesn't really go away. Like I'm always kind of just waiting for something fucked up to happen.
Yeah.
And it sucks. But now that I've been taking the mushrooms for about 6 months now, since I got back from Thailand, I've been microdosing almost regular, like very regularly, not every day, but, and I've noticed that I can really control my anxiety with that, which is very nice, because I am a bit afraid to get my neck or spine or anywhere near there injected with anything. Like that's scary.
It's pretty, I mean, it's like a insulin needle. It's not like super big, and they do it with
a lot smaller than what you just showed me.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. Insulin needles are teeny tiny.
I mean, it pinches little like a needle does, but it's,
so they're not like going into some vein. They're just sticking it in the general area.
No, and they use like a type of camera that like sees through it, so they know exactly where to go to hit the nerve.
Oh, wow. Oh, they're hitting a nerve.
Military technology.
But it's not the military.
VA. Yeah,
no.
The military would probably never pay for this.
No.
That's the problem. No, I was always so fascinated by your story, because when you got out, you're the type of person to find the resources and do what you need to take care of yourself. And I love that about you. But I just think it kind of made me sad when you were telling me the details of everything. And I was like, wow, so the government had nothing to do with any of the stuff that you did.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the psychedelic therapy stuff is like booming. In fact, a former SEAL started a foundation called Veterans Exploring Treatment Solutions, which is like,
what a great name.
Leading. They're like pioneering and leading all the clinical research around like Ibaga and ayahuasca and MDMA for psychedelic therapy. I think they were the ones that helped like sponsor the recent congressional bill that was trying to make like psychedelic therapies for vets legal. So
have you reached out to them at all?
I haven't personally. I know one of the guys on the board. They're pretty big here in San Diego.
Yeah, maybe. I would love to get him on the podcast. Can we get him on the podcast when I get out?
Yeah, it'll be a lot easier to talk about most things when Jack is not in the
military. They're doing this all in like clinical settings, right? This isn't them like taking mushrooms in the
garage. Yeah, I know, but the veteran community.
First of all, we're not taking mushrooms in the garage.
I'm just saying this. Like the veteran, everyone I talk to is a veteran. Is like, dude, when you get out, like try to get into psychedelics will help you like calm your nerves.
Get off.
Yeah, I got off all the prescription pills that they give you. You know, try to get off all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the results I've seen with some friends who had like some really bad PTSD operator syndrome, whatever you want to call it, like people who I thought like, man, if they don't like get real help, like they're probably gonna harm themselves.
Yeah.
And like, it's a light switch. Like they're like, what people tell me is like, when you do like something big like that, like an Ibaga or ayahuasca ceremony, that like, it's almost like your brain resets and you're like a 7-year-old kid again and everything's wonderful and like curious and exciting.
So my parents don't do ayahuasca, but they definitely eat mushrooms like to the God level. Like they trip balls.
And no then way.
They,
and your it, parents?
Yes. Everyone knows this. But so I don't do that personally because I don't like to get that fucked up, but they swear it resets everything for them. And like, you know, of course, my parents are like, we do this once a month. We do this every 2 weeks. We do this once a week. Like they're pretty into it and they do it more and more. Gene has started microdosing now and doing less of these hero doses. But Harry, I mean, if I could even show, like, I don't have videos of them from before because we weren't actively communicating before. We weren't doing, but our life wasn't how it is now. Before they were doing this, they did not appear to be how they are now. Like they were not happy. My mom was so anxious and anything could send her over. Like everything really made me worried about my mom. I was really nervous for her.
Yeah.
And she's like a new person.
Your mom's a wonderful woman.
She's amazing. I mean, but both of my parents are such good people, but it's so cool to see it as their daughter, see them have climbed out of this hole that they were in where I was like, are they ever going to be normal again? Like, and what is normal? Right. But I was like, are they ever going to be able to enjoy their life in the way that I want them to? Is really the most important thing. And now they are.
Yeah. When I dropped off that SRG shirt, Sticky Rice Gains, everybody, she was just so happy to get the sweatshirt. She's like, oh my God, thank you, Jack. I watched a baby today. And I was like, what? She goes, yeah, we watched a baby.
We did.
But it was such a good baby.
He's a cute baby.
Harry was like, yep, it was a good baby.
Yeah. My parents are funny. But I think it's so important that to, you know, like, I'm not trying to downplay what you had done and that's not a valuable asset or a good treatment, but the mushroom stuff is very helpful.
Absolutely. I mean, I highly urge some guys I know who've gotten out and like had a lot of problems. I'm like, I think you should like go to Mexico and do a medicinal trip. And
yeah,
everyone who does it. I mean, I've heard of like one or two like bad stories where people like if their family has that history of like schizophrenia and like it can be really bad for you, but that's like 1 in 1,000 type thing. So I think,
but they also say there's no such thing as bad trips. There's just difficult trips, at least when it comes to mushrooms. Obviously there's a bad trip with acid, but like if you're having a really intense experience, it's that you're going through something difficult. Like it's it's bringing up what it needs to.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Whoops. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't trip. Like I don't really ever.
Well, I wish I can.
I'll eat like a couple grams. I don't like to be like over the moon.
Yeah, I'm the same as you. You know, I have to
just a little.
Yeah,
have a little chat.
Just takes the edge off that way, and like you just kind of flow and vibe.
All right, guys, stop! You're just making me super jealous right now, right?
Jack can't eat mushrooms yet. But is there any other advice that you would give to veterans that are leaving that you can think of right now?
I mean, the single biggest thing is just like, swallow your pride a little bit and like talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Like if you think what you're thinking about is like not normal or like you don't need help or, you know, I'm fine. Like even if you think you're fine, just go talk to somebody, just like see what comes out of the conversation.
Right.
You know, just all that stuff that's kind of like stuck in there. Like it's like pressure. It needs to off gas.
It really does.
So you just gotta just go talk to somebody, like call me literally. You know, they'll put my reels on Instagram after this and
he'll
you can
tagged.
Contact me and I would literally help anybody anytime.
Yeah.
Talk to anybody at any time about anything. So
yeah,
just
I am
go
the
talk to somebody.
Exact same way. If you're a veteran getting out, please call somebody. And if you need help getting out, please contact somebody. Contact the VFW, contact Mr. Kevin over here, dude, this handsome hunk.
There's a program called SkillBridge where you can do an internship while you're still in the military for up to 6 months.
No, not anymore.
How long is it now? 3 months?
No, it's on. Oh yeah, 90 days. They dropped it down to 90 days because of the manning right now.
Gotcha. Well, either way, that's still like you get paid by the military to go intern at any, like, there's thousands of companies on this registry.
Really?
You can go intern for.
Okay.
And then
never heard of those.
You know, they don't have to offer
Skill Bridge.
Okay. Yeah, they don't have to offer you a job, but more often than not, if you work hard and do a good job, they're probably going to offer you a job.
Okay.
So at worst, you just get exposure to something different and find out whether or not you like
maybe
that.
Maybe meet some people in the process.
Honestly, yeah. like working in the civilian section, right? It is so goddamn easy. It really is, dude.
I don't know. You talk a lot of shit about how you do nothing in the military.
Well, I do nothing right now, but I used to do a lot, right? But now I just take out trash. But anyways, in the civilian sector, all you have to do is show up on time. You do your job.
Get your stuff done.
And get your stuff done, which only, like, you know, could probably take 2 days. Like, can we get this done in like 2 weeks? And then you're done.
Yeah.
And then they love you. They're like, oh my God, this guy's an all-star. And I'm like, whoa, I barely did the minimum.
I'm interrupting. When you say the civilian sector, do you mean, is that like a sector in the military? Or do you mean when you're a civilian?
That's the rest of the world. Real life.
Real life. Sure. Well,
that's what I thought. And I just wanted to clarify because I was like, sector, that sounds official.
Yeah.
Got it. Is that
you're in the civilian sector.
Sector, yeah.
The private sector.
Yeah, the private civilian sector.
I'm a civilian.
Yeah, and I always have like,
sector.
Yeah, and I have like plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, and plan E, you know? I got all my plans ready to go in case something works out, dude.
Okay.
And I can always go back home to my mom and dad.
First of all, that's not happening.
Well, I'm going to go home for a little bit.
Yeah, to like visit?
Yeah, for like a month.
You're not going to get rid of your house and
No,
okay. If anything was going wrong, like, you could live here and you know that.
I want to add one more thing getting out PTSD combo. Yes, like, I think what trips a lot of guys up is they're like, well, I don't have PTSD. I know a guy who like went through something seemingly way worse than me, you know, it's not just one big thing. It can be an accumulation, a lot of little things. Everyone responds to different situations differently, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
for me, opening a door of a plane and getting ready to jump out, it's not stressful at all. For someone else, that might be like the most stressful thing they ever do in their life.
Right,
so
you've done it a lot.
Well, sure, but it's all perspective, right?
Right.
Like, you might do something that I would find stressful, and I might be like,
She does a lot of things I find stressful.
I think I stress out half the internet.
But my point is, like, don't think to yourself, oh, someone's got it worse than me, so I don't really have any issues.
Right.
Like,
or my issues aren't worth exploring or working on or anything. Yeah. No, yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
I think that's actually really important to say.
Yeah, like Jack said, like, I used to get super stressed going to fucking Target when we come back from deployments because there's like just so much, there's these bright ass lights and like
people
a ton
around.
Of like people and noise and stimulation. And when your nervous system is like, totally backed
up
with shit.
The U.S. is like really intense when you haven't been here in a while.
I went to Trader Joe's and I was like, I need to get the fuck out of here ASAP.
Yeah. Well,
I've never been deployed, but Kevin and I went, we went to like that Memorial Day thing that did when I had just returned from Costa Rica after 6 months, and I freaked out. I mean, I was already emotional as it was. It was a lot going on, but like, I just was super overwhelmed and freaked the fuck out.
Yeah.
Just being in bars, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't be here. It's too many people. It's too bright. Everyone's really drunk. It's really loud.
Yeah.
Too many American flags.
Yeah. Imagine going to a bar when you come back and you're just
Where I was. But the grocery store, I mean, everything
get the
kind
fuck
of
out
made
of here.
Me feel really overwhelmed. And that was after just like lounging in the tropics for 6 months, not like being in an active deployment, you know?
Yeah. It took me about, I think my last one took me 3 weeks and I still wasn't back to normal.
Yeah. It's always, for me,
and
it was
then
that's when
I realized I was like, something's wrong.
Right.
And I started like crying in my car and stuff. And I'm like, okay, something's really wrong right now.
Why do people cry in the car? I always cry in the car.
Because I can't go cry in the fucking shop. I got to put my military face on.
I have a whole house. I have this garage. I can cry anywhere
I
want.
I didn't even know you at this time. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying I have all this. You have things, but I would choose to cry in a car.
Yeah.
I used to go for rides.
I think because you're cut off from everything else.
Yeah.
Right? I used to go for rides in the Range Rover and just cry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was like doing it like... I'm saying, like, I'm glad you cried.
Yeah.
But
you're saying, like, you would just, like, start to cry.
I would go to work, cry, and then I would get out of work and then start bawling again. Like, what the fuck am I doing?
But
dude?
It always comes up in the car.
Oh, all the fucking time. Yeah. Like, driving down the bridge, just fucking pouring tears.
I try to cry when I'm in a car, or I will just unexpectedly cry in a car.
I think it's because you're not attached to anything, right? Yeah. If you're in, like, your house or where you work every day, that's where everything happens. So you're in that mode where you're adjusted to everything, right? And you're, like, suppressing things a little bit. But you're in the car or, you know, out somewhere private, like where you're isolated. Like,
I guess
that
people
stuff
are like,
just comes
I cry
out.
In the shower in the car.
Yeah.
I don't cry in the shower, thank God.
The places you unplug. Right?
Yeah.
Because you're not like thinking about
the
people
the
you're around.
Is
or
that what you do?
Else.
Me?
Just masturbate in
oh,
the shower?
Oh, I was kidding. No, I don't.
Oh.
Actually, that's not my spot.
That's how you like deal with
unless someone pays me to. I do have one guy who pays for to watch me shower.
Oh, did you hear about the...
Oh, no, he doesn't know.
He doesn't know?
No.
About the... Can I say it?
Yeah.
Sister fucker?
No.
Oh, dude.
So I went on a date the other night and...
Sister fucker.
And we had a lot of fun. It was cool. We were talking. He has five sisters. Anyway, we went to a hotel because Mr. Silver Fox had people over and I just like, whatever. He lived far away. So we went to a hotel and we hooked up and rounds 1 through 3 were fairly normal. Actually, I left some stuff out yesterday, Jack, actually.
Okay, here we go.
So this
butt
is the
stuff?
Thing. Now,
oh,
okay. Oh, God, this is like too detailed. So I like finished and then was like, how do you like to come? And he's like, I want to come in your mouth, but will you spit it into mine?
What the fuck?
It's called snowballing.
So I did that. He swallowed his own cum.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
That was, I forgot to say
what
that
the
part.
Fuck?
That was round two.
Holy shit, round two was cool, dude.
So that was round two, and then round three was the slapping, where I slapped him a lot, right? Like he's like slapped me around and I was like, fuck yeah, let's go. But round four, he just like out of nowhere without consenting or asking if I was okay with it or how I felt about it. He just went into a full role play and was like talking about fucking his sisters and wanted me to be one of his sisters. And I was like, which one? Am I older? Am I younger? Like,
ooh,
what's going on? And like, cause I was trying to pinpoint which sister I might be. I don't know their names, but like, I was all the sisters.
I mean,
anyway, I just think this guy fucked his sisters.
No, I'm sorry. You spit cum in his fucking mouth. Dude, I can't get over this right now.
How could you not get over that? But
I baby birded it to him.
What the fuck?
You never heard of that?
It's a thing.
Well, I know it's a thing, but I never heard someone actually do it. It's like, should we talk about in the shop, dude? Like, yeah, you ever snowballed? Like,
it's funny because
I've never done it. That's for sure. But
I do a lot of role playing.
What did he say after
with,
you?
Not like in person, but like with my clients and like online. And that's a huge thing. They always want me. They always want to like be cuckolded. They want to like eat someone else's cum out of me or something.
Yeah, you want to be
like
degraded
that.
A little bit. Yeah.
So this guy wanted me to spit his into his mouth. I mean, I didn't really. It wasn't like a discussion. He was like, I was like, how can I make you finish? And he was like, in your mouth and then spit it into mine. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then I just did it.
I mean, what the fuck?
Well, I'm gonna go back
times.
To the sister
two
thing.
Yeah. No. Obviously, that
no,
was.
We already went over, like, yeah. I mean, keep going back to the sister.
I don't
thing,
have
sorry.
Sisters, so I have no comparison.
But not,
like,
he didn't say stepsister. He was like, no, my real sister.
It's super forbidden, right? People love whatever's forbidden, you know. So
put a good spin on this. I might sleep with him again.
Yeah. I don't think. Like, I'm not saying I would do it. I don't have sisters, so I can't. But I don't think it's that ridiculous.
Okay. I mean, so
what
I
do mean, you mean? What do you mean? It's not ridiculous to sleep with your sister?
Not to no, sleep well, with your sisters, but to
it's a role
to,
play.
Yeah,
to
it's role, like,
are you?
I mean, how many times have you like thought sex was hotter with someone strictly because you weren't supposed to be doing it?
Yeah, been there.
No,
I've been there.
Well, I mean, my sisters.
No, see,
I know, but I'm just saying for him, that was like something he definitely couldn't do.
Correct.
Maybe. And
well, unless he did, I kind of think he did.
I think if he had, he wouldn't be talking about it in that way.
Okay, that's cute. That's nice. That's a good thought. So I messaged him yesterday after the podcast because we did a podcast about it. And I was like, hey.
Boundaries.
I did screenshot the whole conversation, send it to Jack. I was like, hey, you know, just so you know, I'd like to talk about boundaries if we're going to see each other again before we do. And he was like, oh, no, did I do something wrong? And I was like, listen, you didn't do anything wrong.
Fuck your sister.
Maybe sister like, fucking? I don't know. Snowballing, I bet. I mean, come on.
I said you initiated a role play without discussing it with me first. And we were pretty heated. So I just went through with it. But like, I want to say that I'm not very comfortable pretending to be your sister. As someone who has brothers, it makes me feel weird.
Yeah,
I don't mind pretending to be a mother, your mom. I'll be your stepsister. I was like,
I'll be basically
anyone but someone I am for real. Because like that makes me, I'm like pretending like I have brothers. I was like, what the fuck? So then he was like, oh, I appreciate you saying that. I'm glad you brought it up because I felt really weird when I woke up this morning alone in a hotel room and was like, fuck, what did I do? And she's not here. And because I was like, I laughed as soon as this happened, like I finished it and left, and which I was leaving anyways. But yeah, so he basically said no more talk like that ever again. What did I, it seemed a bit like it's something he's trying to break the habit of, the way he responded.
Okay.
Didn't
okay.
it, Jack?
When you fucking spit cum in his fucking mouth.
He's stuck on this.
I'm still stuck on the snowball thing, dude. Thing. Okay, I guess I don't know.
Have you ever wanted something done to you that, like, in the moment you said it and afterwards, like, yeah, I didn't really want that. I just wanted to, like, say something dirty.
Yeah.
Oh, well, if I'm like in like a middle of a hot sex session, right? But I'm not going to be like, hey, sister.
Well, that, yeah.
That's fucking weird. Oh, and I'm going to be like, let me come in your mouth and let me fucking eat it like a baby bird. Blah, 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 blah. Is that how you did it? Like this? Like,
I don't think that was, I think she spit it.
I definitely didn't make noises at the time. Come on.
You were like a bird.
Beep, beep, beep. How do you, first,
quickly,
my mouth is
quickly
full of
put
cum,
on
Jack.
A bird costume.
Yeah.
Okay, but every guy wants us to suck their dick after they fuck us. So what the fuck
Absolutely.
Is the difference? Like, I mean, yeah. I'm not opposed to that, but like, don't act like it's so different. We eat ourselves off of you guys.
I don't mind going down on a girl after I've come in her.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind that, dude. Oh, but I'm just saying, like,
so you've probably had so your cum in your mouth.
Well, I do drink a lot of pineapple juice, so and it does taste delicious down there after
you basically
I'm done.
Snowballed yourself.
Fuck me, dude. Fuck.
Not yet.
You're gonna be fine. It's good. It's protein.
Protein? This ain't fucking breast milk, dude. But,
again, I just think sometimes it's just really hard to do things that you know are like
so taboo
or wrong or whatever. Okay. And like,
did he talk a lot? Well, he did talk about his sisters a lot on the date.
He did mention.
And you met him okay. on a and so you met him on a fetish app.
I did, and so he brought up his sisters quite a bit and kept saying how much like he understands women because his sisters taught him everything, and he like kept saying all this stuff about how I have sisters, so I'm like a great this and this. And then he said something like, oh, I really want to eat you out, right? I was like, you can't come I'm like, I'm not gonna go home with you, you can't come to my place. He's like, I'm gonna get a hotel. And I said something like, I was like, why did you eat your sisters out? Like, is that why you're so good at it? Like, I made this joke in the car.
What would it be worse if he had said like, I want you to pretend to be my mom? Or would that would have been
no, that's
less...
totally fine. I pretend to be people's moms all the time.
Bro, you should want to.
So do you? That's what I was asking. So do you think that's less? Do you think like saying the mommy fetish is less than less like weird or kinky than the sister fetish?
I think both are kind of fucking weird.
I mean, they're both weird, but like,
I mean, mommy's the Oedipus thing, right?
You know? I just think
mom problems.
I guess because whenever I've dealt with people who ask for fetish stuff, like especially it's always clients. It's never like the guys I'm fucking. It's like some random guy on the internet that I don't even know. It's like, can we text for an hour about my mom? And I'm like, sure. I don't know them. So
and
I didn't spend an hour with them at a bar where they told me how great their family was and how much they love their mom. What a great person she is. And then we go and get in a hotel room and he's like, I love you, mommy. You know, like that's kind of what happened.
I love you, mommy.
Like we went on a date and he talked a lot about his sisters. And then we get to a hotel and he's like, you're my sister. I'm fucking my sister right now. And I was like, oh, fuck, here we go.
Well, like, you did play along with it. So you probably.
I wanted the deets.
Do you know any of the sisters' names?
No, I don't know any.
Oh, you should find out one and like for the next date show
you should
up
see
like
they look like
character.
I can never meet his family. I'm not saying
meet them. I'm saying like find out who they are using the internet.
I'm not going to pretend to be his sisters anymore.
Oh, okay. All right.
Ever again.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you know if I do.
Why not?
Because I am a sister and I don't want to play that game. It's
I mean, I'm a brother to two younger sisters. So right. Yeah, I feel you. But I would never ask a girl.
But I'm
like.
Not a mother. So whenever
I wonder if they're all
that,
older than
him. It
doesn't
make me feel weird. They're yeah. not. They're both older and younger. And that's why I can be like,
he's in the middle.
Older sister.
Interesting.
Because I was like, am I your older sister or your younger sister?
I think
he's
you
like,
just,
you're all my
because for some reason in my mind, the older sister thing would have made more sense. I don't know why. But
well, yeah, well, because she could have like kind of
I wonder what shown sister, him the ropes. Yeah, right. I wonder what just sisters like he was picturing while he was doing it.
He said all of them.
All into
he
one?
He lined them all up. And
so they're blonde hair, blue eyes.
I don't know.
I mean, imagine his childhood. His sisters were probably always trying to like dress him up and fucking do shit to him that he didn't want anything to do with. So maybe it's just a way of getting back at him.
Well, he knows so much about women. I was like, okay, dude. He's like, I'm so good at eating pussy. And then we went to the hotel and I was like, honestly, you're too rough. I was like, slow it down.
Was he in there like two-stroking it?
Jack.
Okay.
If you make that fucking noise on this podcast one more time, I swear we're taking a break. I can't do that noise. I cannot do that noise.
We need like the sound effect board override them for that.
Just no, that noise isn't allowed in this garage.
Anymore?
No, I hate it.
Oh, well.
I'm sorry. It makes me, it hurts, my spine hurts when you do that.
Oh, okay.
My whole body goes, ugh. I just want to like punch you.
You should.
I'm not going to attack
next Jack. Time I'm not sitting in the middle.
Glad you're sitting right there. Anyways, I
next
would say
podcast,
on that
Jack
note,
made noises, you
on
know?
That note, yeah. Do it again, I dare you.
I won't, I promise.
Ooh, now I'm fired up. Okay. So yeah, we'll see. Sister fucker. I'll keep you guys posted on how that goes. Now that I've set my boundaries.
Boundaries have been set, yeah. Sister
I mean,
fucker.
I'm over here into breast milk during
that's
sex
not the
now.
Same.
So
yeah, breast milk's fine, not dude. I'll same. Drink some breast milk.
There's next time I see super like animal yeah. and hot about drinking milk from tits while you're fooling around. Oh my god, it's awesome.
I never tried it before, but game I think changing. I got a new goal in life right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Get a girl pregnant.
No, not that. No, dude.
I'm kidding. Yeah.
Maybe like find a mom who doesn't have a baby daddy, you know, blah blah blah, go in there.
They all have baby daddies.
Or maybe there is a baby daddy.
Well, they
have
a baby.
There is.
Okay, there's a baby daddy, but he's not in the
How
life.
How else would there be a baby?
All right, you know what I meant, Jackism.
Got it.
I swoop into the DMs, okay. right? And I'm like, hey, 3 months, just had a kid, and I just.
Okay. Kevin, it was so nice having you with
us. It really was.
Thank you so much for coming.
It's always a blast.
Dude, we love having you on, man.
Yeah. I can't wait for your birthday.
I cannot
That's
wait
gonna
for
be
your
the
birthday
next
either.
Podcast episode. God. We're going to do it naked.
I'm terrified. I have to pee. Bye. Thank you for listening. And if you liked what you heard, make sure to like and follow us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
We're the Sailing the Sex Worker Podcast. And remember, stay safe.
And wrap it up.